Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then we'll go to the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. Let's pray. Our Father, bless us now as we read these very familiar words to most of us. Be working in us to grow into the people you call us to be. By your Spirit, may our hearts be moved and stirred out of a love for you and your people. Give us the desire and the power to do what you call us to do. In Jesus' name, Amen. And now let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And now, it's over to the children's talk. Hi everyone, I'm here with three of my kids, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys.
Hi.
I have a couple of things over here and I wonder if you can work out what the similarity is between them, why they all go together. Can you tell what this is?
Is it a rule book, how to operate something?
Yeah, pretty close. Hannah?
The instructions for a book, for a game.
Oh, very close. These are instructions for something that I bought for my computer, telling me how to work it when I plug it in. All right, good. Now, can you tell me what this is, Kai?
A rule book of 350 indoor and outdoor games.
That's right. This is a big book called the Encyclopedia of Games, and it gives a whole lot of rules for those 250 games. That way, we're never bored, are we?
No.
I think maybe sometimes you get bored. But we have an instruction sheet for the thing that I've bought for my computer, and we've got this book of instructions for a whole lot of games. And what's this, Ellie?
It's a cooking book.
Yes, it's a cooking book. That's right. It's got lots of recipes in it. Can you tell me why are these things similar? What makes them similar, Kai?
They all have instructions.
That's right, they all have instructions. If I want to know how my thing for my computer works and how to plug it in right and make it work, I go to this sheet over here. If I want to work out how do I play chess, then I go to this Encyclopedia of Games. If I want to work out how could I make a really yummy lunch, then I go over to this recipe book over here. Now, where would I go if I wanted to learn how to pray? Ellie?
Bible.
Bible, that's exactly right. And can you think of anywhere in particular that would be a good place to go in the Bible?
Kai?
Matthew.
Why would you say that, Kai?
Because in Matthew, it tells us how Jesus said the Lord's Prayer.
You are exactly right. Well done. And today, we are looking at the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus gives his disciples instructions on how to pray. And so here's what he says. He says, "Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And some Bibles have as well, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
Yeah.
And we say that at church sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
If you guys want to know how to pray, or if you want to learn how to pray even better, then a good place to go, a good person to go to get instructions from, is Jesus in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 6, where he teaches us the Lord's Prayer. Yes, Hannah?
What if you don't know where Luke is?
Where Matthew is?
Yeah.
That's all right. You can get your mum or dad to help you find it in the Bible. And they could even read it to you if you can't read it all by yourself. That would be okay. So let's pray, and we can thank God that he doesn't just let us pray to him, which is incredible in the first place, and he doesn't just tell us to pray, but he shows us how to pray. Jesus gives us a prayer that we can pray and that we can use to help us in all of our other prayers. So let's pray and thank him for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you let us pray to you, that you love to hear us when we speak, when we bring to you all the things that we care about, that we're worried about, that we're really happy about. We thank you that we can come and bring anything at all to you. And we thank you that you have given us the Bible and you have given us these words from Jesus, where he shows us how we can pray even better than we normally do. Please help us to pray the way that you want us to. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Looking around the world and at various religions, prayer is practiced in many different ways. Buddhists, especially from Tibet and Nepal, use prayer wheels, hollow cylinders with a scroll inside it with a mantra. When the wheel is spun, they believe it's as good as saying the mantra out loud. Muslims, before prayer, wash their face, hands and feet. They face Mecca and move from standing to kneeling. In each pose, they recite a particular part of the prayer. They can do devotional prayers, but they don't have to. It's ritual prayers, which are important. Prayer is different in different cultures, even in Christian circles. Some think that sitting in silence and listening is part of prayer, that as long as they have a spiritual, peaceful feeling, that's prayer. Other Christians use a particular voice and say really formal and old-fashioned words. For some, prayer means saying the same prayer over and over. They need to say particular words. They might even think their prayer doesn't count if they say certain words. And others will think that prayer can't happen unless there's absolute quiet and they won't be interrupted. What does real prayer look like? Jesus took his disciples through a masterclass on prayer because there was so much confusion even then. And as we go through this lesson, we'll see that Jesus' main instruction to his disciples was, "Pray to your heavenly Father who rules and cares." And to do that, he says in verses 5 to 6, "Pray to God, not for attention." In verses 7 to 8, "Pray with authenticity." And in verses 9 to 15, "Pray with significance." Pray to God, not for attention. Pray with authenticity. Pray with significance. And that all comes under the umbrella instruction, our main point: pray to your heavenly Father, who rules and cares. First, in verses 5 to 6, Jesus says to pray to God, not for attention. Jesus paints a vivid picture in verse 5 of a man who loves the attention prayer gives. He wants all eyes on him. He loved praying at the synagogue. Not because prayer is such a privilege, not because it's a joy to lead God's people in prayer. He's praying for attention. And he'd even pray on street corners. And you can understand when you realise that prayers were offered at certain times. It's like those high school movies where there's a girl with a crush, and so she's memorised his timetable and knows exactly where he'll be. The bell goes, he steps out of the classroom, and there she is. What a coincidence. Except it's not. She's arranged to be there. And these people had the potential to do that too. They'd arranged their shopping trip to be at a busy street corner at just the right time. Is Jesus saying that all public prayer is wrong? Of course not. Jesus prayed publicly. His disciples and the church gathered multiple times in Acts to pray. But the question is, why do you pray? Is it because of your relationship with God or how you want others to see you? When we pray, we shouldn't be motivated by others. In prayer, public or private, we're addressing the God of the universe, the throne of grace. A test for someone's spirituality isn't public prayer, but private. Because then only God can see you. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. In public prayer, we should prepare to be encouraging to others. We don't want to stammer, unsure what we're saying. But our intention shouldn't be to receive praise for our prayers. We pray to God, not for attention. Some struggle with praying to get attention. Praying in a way that you know you'll be praised. But some struggle to ever pray in public, won't even attend a prayer meeting. They care so much about what others think, they don't want to be looked down on. But that's being more concerned about people than God. It's the same problem as the one wanting attention, but from the opposite angle. With private prayer, how are you doing? Do you have a private prayer life? Jesus says, when you pray, in verse 6. He assumes you will if you're his disciple. When do you pray? Do you have a time set aside? Here's a saying I've heard a million times from a former mentor. If you don't plan to pray, you won't pray. The day will go by in a flash and you'll have forgotten, in all the bustle, your intention to pray. Sit down and think about when you're going to pray. Build the habit. Start small. If you don't have a private prayer life, start with 5 minutes. But plan it and build on it. In prayer, we're to pray to God, not for attention. Our God hears us. He's our Heavenly Father who rules and cares. And in our second heading, verses 7 to 8, Jesus says, pray with authenticity. Verses 7 to 8, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. The Gentile nations thought that the way to get the God's attention was through lots of words. Saying the right amount of words in the right order was like a password, granting access to the God of your choice. We often read stories to our kids after dinner, just before they go to bed. It won't be too long before Hannah starts doing that, staying up a little later to enjoy a story. And she'll start with The Secret Seven by Enid Blyton. And in The Secret Seven, these seven children have a clubhouse and a password they have to remember. And they'd better remember the password, or they won't be allowed in. That's how the Gentiles treated prayer. And sometimes that's how we treat prayer. Different people will do that in different ways. Some think that unless they use Old English, like thou or thee, they aren't really praying. Those words make it spiritual and grant access to God. Others think the way to God is through the Lord's Prayer, which we'll be looking at in a minute. They're told that if they say a certain number of Our Fathers, then they'll be forgiven. The door to a right relationship with God will be opened. He'll hear us. It reminds me of the competition between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Both sides had to pray, and whichever God sent fire from heaven was the real God. And so the prophets of Baal are yelling and chanting. They were cutting themselves, trying to get his attention. Elijah mocked them, wondering if Baal was on a holiday or sleeping or on the toilet. Nothing they did could get his attention. But we saw last week that the door is already open for us to approach God. We don't need a special password. Before we'd asked for it, before we were even born, God opened the door for us through the death of Jesus. Our sin was the door preventing entry. But Jesus' sacrifice was the password. His death opened the way, not our prayers, not the number of times we prayed the Lord's Prayer or what language we used. Our Heavenly Father rules and cares. And because he rules and cares, he sent his Son to pay the penalty for our sin and raised him to life again to open our way to him. And so we can pray with authenticity to our Heavenly Father who rules and cares. We don't buy his attention through special words or length of prayers. We can bring our requests with simplicity because we know he already knows. He's paying attention already. He knows and calls us to pray. But if we're going to pray to our Heavenly Father who rules and cares, what does it look like? This is where Jesus teaches his disciples and us to pray with significance in verses 9 to 15. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives a pattern for prayer, what our priorities should be. Not that our prayers can only be these big and grand themes. We can pray for the small things. But Jesus doesn't want our prayers to only be for small things. He wants us to have God's priorities. Now, obviously, we'll only be skating on the surface today, but each element will help our prayers. I mentioned that a former mentor drilled into me, if you don't plan to pray, you won't pray. But that wasn't the whole saying. He also said, if you don't plan what to pray, you won't pray well. Last week we saw a man trying to pray, but 10 minutes was spent with his mind wandering instead of praying. One way of stopping the mind wandering is to plan what to pray, and the Lord's Prayer will help us pray to our Heavenly Father who rules and cares with significance. But first, notice something. Prayer is not a spiritual feeling while sitting in silence. It's not listening for a still small voice. These are words. Prayer is talking to God. Whenever you find someone praying in the Bible, they're talking. In Daniel 6, the only prayers allowed were to King Darius. But Daniel didn't go to his room and sit in silence. He went to his room, opened the window toward Jerusalem and spoke words to God. The people trying to trap him barged into his room and found him making petition and plea before his God. If you want to pray, you need words. And the Lord's Prayer is a helpful pattern to keep you on track. And another strategy to keep on track with prayer is to pray out loud. Most biblical prayers are spoken. I often find my mind wanders less when I say my prayers out loud. During the week, I'll often be walking up and down the church, voicing my prayers. It keeps my thoughts from flying all over the place. That doesn't mean you should only pray out loud. Hannah, when she was praying for a son in 1 Samuel, was mouthing the words. Nehemiah, when he was a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes in Nehemiah 2, sent up a quick, silent prayer to God when the king was talking to him. Psalm 139 says God knows our thoughts. This isn't a law, but if you want to improve in your prayer life, try praying out loud. So, as we pray to our Heavenly Father who rules and cares, how can we pray with significance? Let's trace our way through the prayer. Our Father. God isn't cold and distant. He's a loving, caring Father. There are plenty of bad examples of fathers in this world. Maybe you had a bad father who didn't care for you, abandoned you, hurt you. But God is the best father. He cares for his children. And if you're one of God's children, you're part of a large family. You're not alone, which is why we pray our Father. In our Western culture, we swim in the waters of individuality. We think about ourselves and God, but the church only comes into the equation when it's convenient. This is where Eastern cultures have the advantage over the West. They understand community and family so much better than us. We pray our Father. But remember, God can only be our Father if we're trusting in his Son, Jesus Christ. Only then are we welcomed into the family. Unless we believe in Jesus, trusting in his death, we're not forgiven. We're enemies of God facing judgment. Only when we believe in Jesus can we say our Father. We don't pray to angels, or saints, or family who've died. We pray to God, our Father. In heaven. He's on the throne, powerful, able to respond to our prayers. Hallowed be your name. We pray that God would be honoured and loved, that he'd give people knowledge and love of him. This is an evangelistic prayer, asking for God's enemies to become friends, haters to become lovers, indifferent to become worshippers. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On the more immediate level, this is evangelistic too, that God would cause people to remove the crowns from their heads and bow the knee to Jesus. We all naturally wear a crown, deciding right and wrong, but we pray the kingdom of God would be established in their hearts. But we're also praying for Jesus to return, that earth will be like heaven. Jesus will be the unchallenged ruler. And we pray for our physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Everything we have comes from him. Our bodies and minds to earn money, food. To forget how dependent we are is like being a child on her dad's shoulder, forgetting that she isn't really that tall. It's only because her dad is lifting her up. We have what we have because God is so kind. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus highlights in verses 14 to 15 that our forgiveness mirrors how we forgive others. It doesn't mean we earn forgiveness by forgiving others. The rest of the Bible and Jesus' own words prevent that. But we're warned. If we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. Jesus expands on that in chapter 18 with his parable of the unmerciful servant. One servant was forgiven an astronomical debt, which would take many lifetimes to pay. But he couldn't forgive someone a debt that would take a few months to pay. If you can't forgive others, that's a sign you don't understand how big your sin is. If you're holding on to grudges, unwilling to let them go, holding on to anger, that could mean you haven't experienced God's forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big topic, and there's so much to say. It doesn't mean pretending the offense didn't happen. But it means not holding on to the anger in your heart. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God doesn't tempt us, but we plead with God to stop us being exposed to temptation. He sees the road we're walking down better than we do. Who knows? To keep us from temptation, it might mean catching every red light, or being stuck at the slow cashier, or the shops being out of that product you wanted. We don't know what we'd go through if events happened differently. But God does. And so we trust him, depend on him, and ask him to protect us. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This was probably added to the end of the prayer by the early church. It's not in the earliest first century copies of Matthew, but it does pop up quite early. But whether it's part of the original or not, it's good to praise God continually and acknowledge his power and glory. Prayer looks different to different people and cultures. But what does prayer look like in the Bible? True prayer means praying to God, not for attention from others. It means praying with authenticity, not putting on airs or babbling nonsense to get God's attention. And it means praying with significance, praying about God's kingdom, and acknowledging our need. If you're stuck knowing what to pray, grab onto the Lord's Prayer. Go through it line by line and expand it, personalize it. Be amazed that God is your Father, who's joined you to his church. Pray for someone you long to join his kingdom. Imagine what it'll be like when Jesus returns and you'll only ever do God's will. These are prayers we can say privately, and we can say them together. Make a commitment to come to the prayer meeting at 9:30 on Sundays. Let's pray these sorts of prayers. Let's declare his praises, acknowledge our neediness, ask for his help. Let's do it together and see what he'll do. Let's pray to our Heavenly Father who rules and cares. And let's pray now. Our Father, please help us to pray and help us to pray well. Remind us of these truths, that we shouldn't pray to impress others, seeking after their attention. We shouldn't think we need to convince you to listen through the length of our prayers or special words we say. Instead, stir us up by your Spirit to be focused on you, to pray like Jesus taught us, with significance, knowing that you hear us, knowing that you see us. Make us a prayerful people. This is often one of the difficulties of living this side of the veil, where we live by faith, not by sight. Stir us up to pray. Encourage us in our prayers. Help us to pray better. Empower us to pray by your Spirit. We don't want to be prayerless. We want to speak to you as children speak to their Father. Help us to do that, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.